Hey, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. This is our second week through a series that we call Behind the Music, where we take a look at the songs that we sing. And I'm especially excited about this one because it is just based in Scripture from beginning and end. You know, for every season, there's a song. And in this season that we've all walked through since March with the uncertainty of COVID and shutdowns, this song came about, was birthed right during that season. And early March, just before all the shutdowns happened, Carrie Jobe and her husband, Cody Carnes, gathered together with some other worship leaders and just met on a day to pray together, to worship God, to write some music. What the song they wrote on Thursday, they sang it in church on Sunday, March 6th, just a week or so before all of the United States was practically shut down. Well, since that time, in about 4 months, there's been over 20 million views of this song as it's just made its way into homes and translations. Last night I was just listening. There's a version of this that's sung by an artist in Israel, in Jerusalem, in Hebrew, in the original language that it was sung. So it's powerful the way that this song has touched hearts and families in this season. I'm excited to share it with you because the blessing is something that God desires to give all of humanity. You know, in our culture, we have this phrase that says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. How many of you believe that's true? And I hope I don't see any hands, because the reality is names and words do hurt. They go down deep and they penetrate and they cut. And sometimes in our culture, we think, well, words are just words. They don't really matter. Well, the Bible shows us that words are powerful. They're important. In fact, God created the world by speaking words, that Jesus is called the Word of God. And today, as we look at these words that are words of blessing, they're spoken over Israel. They're meant to change not only the lives of the hearers, but to impact future generations as well. I want to invite you to turn with me to Numbers chapter 6 as we go into your Bible or open your app or whatever. Numbers chapter 6. And as you do, I want to share this story about how the blessing impacted my father and our family as a result. See, my dad came to the United States when he was 24 years old. He was born and raised in India. He came because his family noticed the potential that he had as a top student. And so they sent him to get his graduate studies done at Michigan State University with the plan of then him going back to India to marry a nice Hindu girl that his family would have arranged for him, because arranged marriage is part of his culture. Well, a wrench was thrown into the plans when my dad was in the United States and he met this cute girl from New Jersey. And so he realized that in order to get married, he wanted to go back to India with the express purpose of getting his father's blessing. Again, he kind of just, you know, eloped or got married or said whatever. But for him, this idea of the blessing was so important that he took a trip all the way back to India just to ask for his father's blessing. And when he got there, he faced an uphill climb, because they had prepared beautiful Hindu girls to try to pair off and match up, because here's this guy who'd been studying in the United States and he wasn't having any of it. He got the wedding ring made while he was in India and he was just like, Dad, you know, please give me your blessing. And he wouldn't. So on the last day of his trip, as he was literally getting ready to go to the airport to come back to the U.S., he knocked on his dad's door, and his dad came out, and he knelt down and grabbed his feet, and that's the posture of receiving a blessing in his culture. And he literally grabbed his father's hand, and he put it on his head, and he said, Dad, please bless me. And his father, through tears, gave his blessing and said, my son, go, and may it go well with you as you go back to America and get married. May you be blessed, and may your kids be blessed, and all will be well, and God will bless you. So my dad took that, and to this day, points to that as a turning point in his life, though he's now a follower of Jesus. And realizing that his father and him, as following the Hindu faith back then, realizes, nonetheless, that was a crucial turning point in his life. And my parents just celebrated 48 years of marriage last week, and they're loving life, and they're thriving, and God is blessing him. But he points back to that as a hinge point. And part of that reveals God's heart for us as his children, that God desires to bless us. And we see this blessing come in Numbers chapter 6 as Moses tells Aaron and his sons to bless the Israelites. He said, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them.'" One of the interesting things about this particular passage is this passage represents the oldest fragment of scripture that we have anywhere on planet Earth. There was a cave that was dug up in Israel called Ketef Hinnom. And in that cave, they discovered this little scroll, 1 inch by 3 inches, little metal scroll that was rolled up and it was placed as a necklace for a person during their burial. And when the archaeologists found this scroll and they unrolled it and they read the words that were on it, it was the words of this blessing in Numbers chapter 6. You know, Numbers is one of those books that we tend to just kind of fly over, especially because it starts with 5 chapters of census of the tribes of Israel leaving Egypt and going into the promised land. So by about chapter 4 or 5, you're like, okay, I'm out. I'm going to go to Matthew or Mark or somewhere else. But hang in there. If you've never read the book of Numbers, it's a great book, and there's so many great stories in there that are actually nowhere else in the Old Testament. And so, like the story of the 12 spies going into the land, that's in Numbers chapter 13, and Moses striking the rock, that's Numbers 20. There's some great stories in there. But this blessing is a central part of God's desire and intention to bless his people. And one of the things you'll notice is that it's this cascading blessing from generation to generation. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites," who then were to bless their children and their children. From the very beginning, God has desired to bless his creation. We see in Genesis chapter 1, when he created humanity, he blessed them. And though sin entered the world and caused separation between humans and God, God still pursued his creation. And then in Genesis 12, we see God appear to Abraham and said, "Abraham, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing to all the nations." And that's where we get our theme of missions of bless to bless, because God's desire is to bless us so that we can give that out to others. And Abraham blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac blessed his son Jacob and Esau. In fact, Esau was the older of the two twins and was supposed to get the blessing. But Jacob kind of stole the blessing from his dad. And if you read that story in Genesis, it's kind of interesting, because when Esau, the older brother, learns, comes back to his dad and he says, "Dad, bless me too." And Isaac says, I can't. I already blessed your son. I already blessed your brother." And I'm thinking, well, just say some words. It doesn't really matter, you know, it's just words. But in their mindset, it was more than that. It was something tangible. It was real. It was powerful. And that blessing was given to Jacob, who becomes the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And one of those, Joseph, gets taken to Egypt, and they were enslaved for 400 years. And after that, God raises up Moses to bring the people out, but God still wants the blessing to be carried on throughout all generations. So he tells Moses, "Tell Aaron, your brother, and his sons, the priests, to bless the Israelites." In Latin, the word for priest is pontifex, which means bridge builder. And I love that image because it's the image of somebody standing with God's hand in one hand and the people's hand in the other, and they become a conduit, a vessel of blessing as it flows through, being in relationship to God, and it flows to others. But here's the really cool thing. The New Testament reminds us that priests are not just people that go to school and wear fancy robes. That you and I, being in relationship with Jesus Christ, are called priests, a royal priesthood. It says this, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." We're a royal priesthood. All of us, we are bridge builders between God and the people that don't yet know him. We are that link that God is able to pour his blessing in and through our lives. In fact, this idea is one of the central ideas that launched the Protestant Reformation back in 1517. Martin Luther realized this, that the Bible says that we are all priests. It wasn't just for this reserved class of specialized people. No, God wants to use us and use you to bring his blessing to all of the nations. So how do we do this? How do we give this blessing? Well, first we need to receive it. Then we need to live it. And when we receive it and live it, then we can actually give it. In Romans 10:13, it says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." You see, when we enter into a relationship with Jesus, when we call on the name of the Lord, when we say, "I want to be a follower of Jesus," we call on the name of the Lord. And Moses said that, God said that, "I will put my name on the Israelites." And that's a theme you can trace all the way through Scripture when God reveals his unique name to Moses. And the New Testament tells us that that name finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. So everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And what happens when you do that? Ephesians 1:3 tells us, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." When we step into a relationship with Jesus, God pours his blessings into and over our lives. That everything the Bible says that belongs to Jesus now comes into our lives because we are co-heirs with Christ. We are inheritors of this blessing. And as we receive that, it becomes part of our lives. It changes us from the inside out. And as it changes us, as we receive it and live it, we're able to give it. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John go to the temple, and they had received the Holy Spirit. And one chapter earlier, Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, when God's Spirit just filled the believers as they were worshiping and praying. Peter, as he's on his way into the temple that day, passes a man that he likely passed every single day on his way into the temple. But this day, something was different. And what was different was the presence of God was in him, noticing and seeing through him. And so Peter says, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have, I give you. The blessing that's in me through Christ, the grace and the mercy that I have received, I'm now able to pass that on. I'm now able to be a conduit. I'm a bridge builder between God and you." And so he said, "In the name of Jesus, rise and walk." And as he took that man's hand, it wasn't just the Peter's hand that he was touching, but he was touching the hand of God Almighty, because Peter's other hand was firmly clasped in Christ's. And so he was a bridge builder. He was a conduit of God's grace and God's blessing. I want to give you a challenge this week. The challenge is called the blessing challenge. And I want you to think about, who can you bless this week? Now, you can read this number 6 passage over them. You can pray it over your kids, over your family. Heck, if you want to, try and sing it over somebody. You might want to play their music in the background louder, whatever, if you do, to cover up any, you know, but find a way to bless. Find a way to pass on the blessing, because we have been given a blessing that we might pass it on. My dad never misses an opportunity to bless us. Every Father's Day, every anniversary, birthday, Christmas, I nominate a card in the mail, and I know he's not a great man of words, but he just simply says, "Hey, I bless you with this," and then he'll just put a Bible verse in there. And you know, I receive that as a special gift. I know it's in the Bible, and I know anyone can read it, but that day it was coming from my dad to me as a gift, as a blessing, and I receive it. And I realize that some of you are here today and say, "You know what, I've never received a blessing like that. I didn't grow up in that. I didn't grow up with people speaking kind words of blessing and favor," but guess what? It can start today, and it can start with you, and it can impact your life, and it can impact future generations from this point on. When you say yes to Jesus, every spiritual blessing in Christ belongs to you, and you receive it, and you live it, and you can give it. But here's the other challenging thing. The Bible tells us we're not only to bless those that love us and are kind to us. The Bible goes so far as to say, even bless your enemies. 1 Peter 3:9 says, "Don't return insult with insult, but with a blessing, because you are called to inherit a blessing." And see, I think God's desire is to change that trajectory from cursing into blessing. And it's got to start with us. Because if we're going to be like the rest of the world and just return fire for fire, nothing is going to change and the whole world is going to burn down. But if you and I realize that what God has done in our lives is to change us so that we can then be vessels and conduits of blessing, that we can be those bridge builders between God and others, that is where true difference can be made. So I want to encourage you, another way that you can be a blessing, that you can take this blessing challenge, is by having Jesus conversations. And Jesus conversations, very simply, is taking the opportunity for prayer, care, or share in Jesus' name. Colossians 3:17 says it like this: whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. We've been given a challenge to find opportunities in our daily lives to just pray for people, serve people, care for people in Jesus' name. And Pastor Mike, as he's on sabbatical this summer, has given us this challenge that if each of us here at Highland has one Jesus conversation each week, just one a week, by the time he returns, that will be 19,500 Jesus conversations. 19,500 opportunities to place the name of Jesus in somebody's life, for God to bless them, to be a bridge builder, to be a conduit of blessing in their lives. And listen, I know that it's not always the easiest thing. I know that sometimes it's challenging. I know that sometimes we don't even have the courage to do it. And that happens to me. In fact, when I was preparing this message, literally I was taking notes on number 6, thinking about Jesus conversations, I'm in my office, and the phone rings. And first, what was strange about this is normally when the phone rings, it comes through the main office and then they transfer it. Well, this time, it came straight through my direct line. So I pick it up, there's some guy on the phone that I've never met, and he's asking for some guy that I've never met. So obviously, he's got the wrong number. So he wanted to check, and I checked it with the church number. There wasn't a single number that was the same. He wasn't off by like a number. He was off by like every single one of them. So as I'm about to hang up, I realize that might have been a good opportunity to have a Jesus conversation with somebody, and click, conversation ended. I thought, man. So I go back to working on my sermon, and the phone rings. And I pick it up, and it's this guy. He's asking for the friend, and no, it's not. And we laugh, and we check the numbers, and how, that's so weird, you know? And I click, and I realize I just missed another opportunity to have a Jesus conversation with this guy. So I go back to working on my sermon. And the phone rings again. But this time it's a different number. So I pick it up, and he's like, hey, I'm calling from my cell phone because I thought maybe my landline has some crazy problem and it's dialing some weird number. And I'm like, hey, I don't know what's going on, but I think I'm supposed to pray for you. He's like, oh, cool, that'd be great. Thanks, yeah, we'll talk to you later. And I'm like, no, like right now. Let's pray right now. And so I'm like, I don't know you. I don't know anything about you, but I just would like to ask God's blessing over your life. And so I prayed for him. I blessed him and whatever he's going through. I said, God, you know, would he be aware of your presence? Would you show yourself to him? I don't know if he's a follower of Jesus or not. I just took this opportunity to pray and whatever felt kind of God placing on my heart. And that was it. And we said goodbye and never talked to him again. But it's an opportunity that shows us that God brings these connections into our lives and calls us to be that bridge builder. As we walk with him, hand in hand with Christ, then we get an opportunity to connect with others. And it's not just a human interaction, it's a divine and spiritual interaction that we become part of this process of blessing that God designed way back in creation and continues to this day in Christ. I want to end with this verse in Psalm 67. It says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. Now, does that look familiar to anybody? It's written about 500 or 600 years after the Numbers passage. The psalmist wrote it and is receiving it and is claiming that as their own and saying, so that your ways may be known on earth and your salvation among all nations. See, the psalmist made a connection between this priestly blessing that Moses gave to Aaron to give to the Israelites and to that which we can receive and give to others so that God's name and goodness and mercy and grace would be made known, that people would encounter the goodness, the love, and mercy of God. that their lives, like ours, can be changed for now and eternity, and that future generations can be impacted. We're going to sing this song one last time, and as we do, I want you to first receive it as a blessing over your life. May God be gracious to you and turn his face towards you and give you peace. And as you receive that, start singing it over your family and your friends, your neighborhood, this nation, and the world. And as you do, you enter into this flow of blessing that comes through Christ, that we can receive it, and we can live it, and we can give it. Receive the blessing today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. As you receive it and you live it, go and give the blessing.